Call to order the Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Telecommunications for Tuesday, February 28th of 2012. First on the agenda is Senate File 1534, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As the Chairman just said, I have before Senate File 1534. This would extend the effective date to June 1st, 2017, a provision on wind easements. We did hear this in Ag Committee. It was very non-controversial, and this bill protects landowners against long-term easements in respect to the wind turbines that could be installed on their property. I do have Tom Peterson from Minnesota Farmers Union here to testify on behalf of this bill.
All right. Mr. Peterson, welcome, and please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. For the record, my name is Tom Peterson. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Farmers Union. We're testifying today in support of Senate File 1534, authored by Senator Brown. MFU appreciates the Senator for offering this very important legislation that simply extends the effective date, which is set to expire this June 30th to June 1st, 2017, for the use-it-or-lose-it provision on wind easements. Under the current law, wind easement with a landowner, many times a farmer, terminates if the holder does not begin commercial operation within 7 years. So that's the current law. MFU successfully sought this legislation several years ago after our members had concerns about signing 25, 50, or even perpetual easements with energy companies and then having nothing happen on their property. Members also had concerns about sourcing easements for smaller projects, and a lot of acres were locked up for long periods of time with no project in sight. Farmers Union members have also encountered issues with some of their bankers regarding the length of some of the longer-term easements that were in effect before. So this provision, we feel, has been working very well for both the landowners and the wind developers, and we urge you to extend the sunset, which is what this legislation does. I also, Chris Raddatz from the Minnesota Farm Bureau, he's in another committee and asked me to mention that they also support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Any questions? Seems simple. So, Senator Brown, what are your wishes?
I believe we want to move this to general orders. Yes.
All right. Does anybody else want to testify for or against this bill? Senator Metzen.
I'm just wondering if this would not be a consent order legislation. I mean, whatever.
Probably not.
I was just going to ask if there's anybody that opposes the bill. Anybody that you've talked to thinks this isn't a good idea?
Yeah. No. This moved through Ag Committee. No one opposed it. Agriculture. Nobody's approached me in opposition to this bill.
Right.
Chairman, I think move it to the consent calendar. Let's just.
I think so.
There's no opposition that I ever heard. We've heard it in Ag Committee. We're fine.
Yeah. Chairman, you obviously chaired the Ag Committee.
We're fine.
Senator Magnus brings a good point. If there's no opposition, we can move it to the consent calendar. If there was any opposition at that time, it can be placed back on general orders. So, if there's no more questions or no other testifiers, Senator Brown renews his motion that Senate File 1534. Be recommended to pass and placed on the consent calendar. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Senator Brown. Next up, a presentation on MISO, the Midwest Independent System Operator. We have Robert Burnson. Thank you, Mr. Burnson. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Rob Burnson. I'm a vice president at MISO, and I work in the Government Affairs Division. I am a resident of Indiana at this point, but I used to be a longtime native Iowan, and I have to confess that it has taken me this long since the Iowa-Minnesota football game to get here. So I worked through it, though. It's over. Give me 1 second here to get some technology going.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I was going to say you're on daylight frog time.
Okay. Up on the screen here is just an overview of what MISO's mission and function are. Sometimes we are confused with being an actual public utility, like the ones that are regulated in states. And while we have and do similar functions in terms of making sure that energy is delivered reliably and at least cost, we are not a utility that's regulated at the state level. We're federally created, and we're regulated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But in our charter documents, we are specifically public interest driven. So we are always concerned about trying to, as I mentioned, deliver the most least cost energy in a reliable fashion. We are independently governed, which means we've got a board of directors who are elected by our stakeholders. They do not run the business on a day-to-day basis. They are making big global decisions and voting on recommendations that come to them through a stakeholder process that MISO employs. I mentioned we're federally created. We're also a 501c4, so we're a nonprofit. We do not have shareholders. And we are a voluntarily member-based organization, which means if utilities that are members of MISO do not like things that we are doing or have issues with things we're working on, they always have the opportunity to leave, and vice versa. Utilities are free to join MISO as well. We've got three primary things that we work on a day-to-day basis. The first, as I've mentioned, is reliability. We're working to keep the lights on with our members throughout the Midwest. We also do transmission planning. This is probably the one that most of you, if you've heard of MISO or familiar with us, know most about. We're trying to plan and make sure that the grid is operating efficiently and reliably across the footprint, which is a rather large one, which I'll get to here in a second. And then finally, we run wholesale energy markets and capacity markets and several other markets. So this allows the sale and transfer of electricity, which, again, promotes reliability and helps drive down the cost of delivered energy. This is our footprint. Up on top, the darker blue is is our current footprint. It's 11 states and the province of Manitoba. We do reliability or planning operations and market operations in all of these 11 states, and we just do reliability operations and not market operations for the province of Manitoba. Down towards the bottom, you'll see a lighter blue. These are states where the utility known as Entergy operates in. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but we're engaged in a process right now where Entergy is considering joining MISO. And as you can see, that's fairly significant. It'll increase the size of our footprint dramatically. Also increases the diversity of the resources that we have across our footprint to help maintain reliability and deliver this energy. We're going to do something a little bit different in our presentation here today. This is a video clip, actually, that I'll run here. It's a 90-second video clip, and it's a graphic representation of our footprint. And it's a 90-second thing. It'll go through 24 hours in one day. This was July 1st of last year. It happened to be a very, very hot day and one of our peak days, meaning that we had the most load that was needed on our system during this day. And as you watch this, it's fascinating. You can see colors change throughout the video. And this represents the changing of wholesale electricity prices across our footprint as the day goes along. Right now, this is 1 in the morning. The light blue represents low cost in energy. And then as you can see on the scale over here, as you move upward, it gets to orange, yellow, orange, and red. That's a lot higher energy costs. So I'll play this video. You can see how throughout the course of a day prices change, and then I'm going to go back and stop it at one point and go through the rest of the presentation and use that one image to talk about some of the initiatives that MISO is working on. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that this works here. Mm-hmm. So you can see it getting darker here. It means prices are going down. Wind is blowing. This means there's heavy wind blowing over on the western part of the footprint. Morning's starting to come over here on the eastern part. So consumers are turning on lights and getting ready. 7 a.m., wind's picking up, sun's coming up, temperatures are rising. You got some congestion down here with the red spot, the dark blue spot, which represents a wind farm in Indiana. It's getting hotter. Prices are going up. See this huge difference from the eastern part and the western part of the footprint. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon now. All of a sudden, everything goes red. Wow. Had a couple of power plants that tripped off, actually.
Brown, then it goes black.
Once again, 9 o'clock, street lights are coming on. A couple of power plants were down again. In southern Indiana, you can see that spot down there where the power plants were off. Sun's going down, the temperatures are dropping. The prices are coming down again. Okay, this is the spot that I wanted to stop at here, and this is a good graphical representation to talk about some of the initiatives that MISO is working on now and give you those updates. This chart here where these prices come together across the footprint really kind of is where the ground or where the rubber hits the road in terms of everything we do. You can see these black lines that are in there. Those represent transmission lines that MISO has approved through our planning process. They haven't been approved to be built because that's got to go back to the states and the commissions in the states to actually approve the lines to be built and site them. But our planning process has signed off on those lines being built. And what you can see here is that they're obviously highly targeted to relieve congestion. And the way that you know congestion exists is by the difference in these colors. And you've got a lot of, in this situation at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got a lot of low-cost energy in the western part of the footprint, especially right here in eastern Iowa where there's some wind farms. And then you've got a lot of congestion that's not allowing that low-cost energy to move to the western part of the footprint. If we are able to, if these lines are built, these MVP lines are built, you can see that they actually open up flow gates so that energy can then, this low-cost energy can then move from the western part of the footprint into the eastern part of the footprint and deliver lower-cost energy to these portions of our footprint. The MISO Board of Directors last December approved a portfolio of projects, which are these black lines that are represented up here. They approved them as part of our planning process. And as part of that planning process, we went through some significant analysis to look at costs and benefits of the portfolio of lines. And we were able to determine that if all these lines are built and this energy is allowed to move, if you compare what prices would be in the current world where you don't build these versus if you do build them and allow this energy to move, you'll see net benefits of anywhere from $6.7 billion to $32 billion over a 20 to 40-year life of these lines. That means that prices for consumers will drop significantly over the course of 20 to 40 years if these lines are approved and built. I think you've got handouts here. I stopped on this slide here, but if you're following along in the handouts, I'm on page 7, which looks like this now. It's got, a map of our footprint and the zones that exist there. If you turn to page 8, Minnesota is seated in zone 1, and that gives you a breakdown of the benefits that come to that zone and your state in particular from the build-out of these particular lines. One thing that's really critical to look at with these is it's not only about reducing energy costs to consumers, but down at the bottom you'll see that these lines actually produce a lot of jobs as well. And there are 4,000 to almost 10,000 indirect or direct jobs that will be spurred through the build-out of these lines in zone 1. And indirect jobs total from about 7,000 to 17,000. Indirect jobs include downstream industries like wind turbine manufacturers and other businesses that help support the industry. The next issue that we wanted to talk to you about that we're working on at MISO is determining what the impact the EPA regulations will have on our footprint. And MISO does not take a position on the regulations themselves. We are just working on ways to help our utilities and members implement the regulations across the footprint. So we're studying them, trying to understand what they mean to our members and then ultimately to you and to ratepayers. Well, we launched a study about a year ago asking utilities what their plans were if the EPA regulations were put into effect. And by plans, we mean, are you going to have to retrofit or build new units, and what units are you going to be taking offline or retiring? And we determined that there is about 13 gigawatts of capacity that's identified at risk in MISO in our footprint. About 3 gigawatts of that is going to actually retire, meaning it's not economical to try to retrofit it or upgrade it. They'll just close them down. And that's obviously going to have an impact when you have to retrograde and upfit your power plants on what the cost of energy is going to be. However, the closing of plants in this 13 gigawatts is really not the thing that we're most interested in and studying right now. What we're really getting somewhat concerned about and trying to understand better is how to do outage coordination. And what that means is that all of these plants, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are actually going to have to come offline and be retrofitted with certain types of equipment to allow them to comply with the EPA regulations. And that coordination is going to be a significant undertaking across the entire footprint. And if you look at it individually by utility, each utility's probably got a plan on how to deal with this in their specific territory and with their specific customers. But when you look at it across the footprint, some of these generating units are used by MISO for reliability purposes, for frequency regulation, and for all types of different reliability purposes. And there could be situations where a utility wants to shut down during a particular time period but actually can't because it's going to impact the reliability of the grid. So trying to coordinate all of that over the next 3 or 4 years, 2015 I think is when all the utilities have to be compliant with these regulations, is going to be a pretty monumental task for us to undertake. So we're working with commissions and utilities right now across the footprint to have discussions about how to coordinate this and the best way to move forward so that we can maintain reliability and still do our best to make sure that we're delivering low-cost energy across the footprint. One of the ways that we think we can help mitigate, MVPs obviously do that. You can see that MVPs will help move power all across the footprint. So that's one way that if a particular state has to go down with one of their units to retrofit it, you can move power in from another state or another area so that it can cover that over that time period. Another way that we think that we can help mitigate the impact of these regulations is by working on a thing that we call capacity deliverability. And this is the ability between RTOs. So you've got MISO that's one RTO, and you've got RTOs that surround us. This is a way for us between RTOs to move capacity between the two. So we each have our own rules that govern how we can move capacity around, and there are differences that create administrative barriers that prevent, at this time, this capacity moving in between the RTOs. So in particular, we're working with the RTO off to our east, which would be starting in Ohio and some of Kentucky, a little bit of Indiana and Michigan, all the way over to New Jersey and Maryland, to try to bring down these administrative barriers to allow this capacity to move freely between the two RTOs. And this is important because when we go through this outage maintenance and we're taking down units to try to allow them to retrofit, if our reserve margins go down and capacity drops below a level that's safe, we're going to need to be able to rely on capacity from somewhere to make sure we can keep the lights on and keep delivering energy. And borrowing capacity on a short-term basis from another RTO is one way of helping mitigate those issues that could arise. So We've worked with our commissions. The RTO off to our right is not particularly interested at this point in having these discussions. So we're working with our utility commissions across the footprint to help us send letters and messages to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to encourage us to get together in some sort of a technical conference to work on this and find ways to allow this energy and capacity to move freely between the two borders.
Okay, Mr. Brunson, Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you just say, currently, do the utility companies that are the members, do they work together on the outages currently? Are they, for the most part, planned?
The utilities, it sort of depends on what the size of their footprint is. So you've got some utilities that operate in two or more states, and they'll have different utilities in those states working together. But it's usually company by company that they're working on their outage plans. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where MISO comes into the picture, because we look at the big picture and we know what each company is doing across the footprint. And that's what I alluded to before, where you may have one company that wants to take down their units at a particular time, but you could have three or four other utilities that want to do the same thing. And if everybody tries to take down their units at the same time, we're not going to have enough power to keep the lights on. So that's the coordination that we're trying to work on.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So have you been successful in that coordination?
I mean,
is there times where you say, no, we've got somebody over here that's...
We're working on it. We did this survey about a year ago that was a first look at what the number of retirements were going to be and how outages would work. And we have gone back into the field just a couple weeks ago, actually, with a new survey asking the utilities what their plans are, how many megawatts they're going to have to take off, and what it's looking like for retirements. And once all those plans come back in, we'll put it all together and piece it all together, and we'll have an iterative process where we go back and forth with utilities to try to coordinate this. And they are being cooperative.
Senator Metzen.
Chairman, one of the things I've talked about, Mr. Peterson, over the years is the NIMBY theory, not in my backyard, obviously. And when you run these new lines, I've kind of said, why don't you run them on corridors we already own? Highway corridors. I mean, there's plenty of room in there, and then you're not fighting with usually the farmers or whoever it might be, and the right-of-way is already there. So I'm looking at that southernmost line across, I don't know if it goes across Iowa or Minnesota down on the southern border.
Yeah, cuts down in Iowa.
It's an Iowa? Okay, so you're going to have to acquire the easements and the advil, or you're going to have to take the property, right?
Well, MISO will not do that. We do the planning, and so we take a look across the footprint at what lines make sense, and then we put out a plan. And the utilities in these jurisdictions are the ones that are responsible for building these lines. And so I was the chair of the Iowa Commission before I took this job, and there is a process in front of the commissions where you go through that and cite these, and a lot of times it works off of right.
I was close on your name. It's Peterson or Bernstein.
I've been called worse, so.
sound kind of alike, but I do, seriously, many states and some of our ways here are right-of-ways are on freeways in Minnesota. Yeah. I think we should look at that more often than I think we're doing. I don't think we're doing enough of it. I mean, we own it. It's there. It's, you know, the right-of-ways are wide enough where you're going to get way up on the hill up there and hit the, you know, it's not going to happen once in a million times. So you already have the right-of-way. But.
Senator Metzen, we've gone over those in transportation, and many of those right-of-ways aren't wide enough for safety, and some of them are, and that's why we do look at
well,
those.
Well, then you, Mr. Chairman, then you buy the contiguous stuff that gets it another 50 feet that's contiguous to the right-of-way already.
And I think, Senator Metzen, you see that out on 94 is a great example where they're restringing the
and then you're not doing all the other stuff, the condemnation stuff. Anyway.
Mr. Bernstein, I had to rethink here with Senator Metzen there.
I don't know what that means.
Administrative barriers is the term you used, but you didn't really expound on. Could you expound on what these administrative barriers are in the process here?
Sure. All RTOs have tariffs, so they're rules that we're governed by that we file with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they just set up the rules that we have to play by. our rules in MISO are different than the rules in PJM is the RTO that we're working with on the eastern side. Trying to get those rules to match up in terms of, for instance, some of their tariff language says that you've got to have firm transmission. Ours does too, in fact. If you're going to sell capacity and move it, you have to have the firm transmission to be able to do that. And we just have differences of opinion about what firm transmission means. So there's things like that that we need to work through. Those are the barriers that exist.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, or we can move on? All right. Thanks. We can keep going.
Sure. Yeah, the last piece I was going to talk about is when I first started, I showed you a map that had a couple of four states down towards the southern end of our footprint, this one here, with the Entergy states. I mentioned that we're actively trying to integrate Entergy into our system. If we do that, it's going to be a big change for us. It's going to increase the number of transmission line miles we have, the number of installed megawatts of installed generation, and the peak system demand significantly. But so far, there are four states but five regulatory jurisdictions down south that have to approve the integration of this utility into MISO, and change of control proceedings or proceedings to go through this process have been done in four of those five. They're moving well. We expect Entergy hopefully to be integrated into MISO sometime by the end of 2013. And the benefits to that are that we've got more diversity in terms of fuel mix. Down in the south, there's a lot of nuclear power. They're heavier in gas down there as well. You've also got weather diversity. So when it's cold up north and you've got outages from storms or what have you, you've got power down south that can then move up and vice versa. So it's good for our footprint diversity. So just wanted to conclude here and leave you with a couple of final thoughts. One is that we think that MISO is bringing a lot of value to the footprint. Showed you the value proposition and the numbers that we're delivering to save customers money. We've got a lot going on with EPA regulations that we're trying to sort out, and we're working with our utilities to do that and think we're going to be successful at it. And part of the strategy to mitigate the impact of these EPA regulations are MVP lines that help move power around. And finally, working on this capacity deliverability issue, these seams or barrier issues with other RTOs. Thank you again for taking the time to allow us to present. And if there are any more questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Members, any more questions?
And the name is Bernstein.
Bernson, right?
Bernson.
Yeah. If there's no more questions, thank you, Mr. Bernson. Appreciate you coming. That's it, members. Seeing no more business before the committee, we will adjourn.